can tell you, as she has said, and as you already know, they do love you. But I, in case you didn't know, you do have a pretty ornery pastor. Okay, I can tell you knew that. But we used to have we had some good times on district board, and then I got on the executive committee, and we really had some good times. And you always knew what he thought. He wasn't silent on how he felt, but at the same time, but you knew where he was stood and where he's in his standing. And I appreciate him, and I always enjoy being around him. He always puts a laugh in my stomach. He puts a smile on my face, and I just appreciate him very much. And he is a great man of God, and you are blessed to have your pastors. Your pastor's wife has to be an angel to live with him. Give her a hand. She's worthy. But they are wonderful people. And did I hear 26 years that you've been here? Wow, that's amazing. 26 years. That means either you guys have a lot of patience or they do. Amen. But I'm sure it's a little bit of both. But it is a privilege this morning to be able to say that you have a pastor for 26 years. I met a young man, or an older man, several years ago who made the statement to me, his goal was to pastor every church in that district. He had only been in every church 1 year. And I thought, oh my goodness, what kind of calling could that be, just to be there for 1 year? To just be there for that short term, to feel like he was supposed to pastor every church. I can tell you today that longevity brings strength and backbone to a church, because it brings the stability that's needed in the house of God. And I appreciate your pastors. I have the privilege this morning, before I get into the word, when I was at General Convention in June, I picked up 11, and I'm proud of that, 11 certificates for our pastors within our district and ministers, of ordination pins and certificates, some for 25 years, some for 40, some for 50, some for 60. And for the first time in history of the Pentecostal Church of God, there was an elderly lady there who got 70 years of ordination. She was ordained, I believe, at the age of 14 or something of that effect, very young. And so that was awesome. But I'm going to ask your pastor to come, and I want to award him this morning with his certificate of 25 years of ordination with the Pentecostal Church of God. Give him a hand. Pastor, it is my privilege to give to you today your certificate of recognition for 25 years of service with the Pentecostal Church of God. We appreciate you in the Oklahoma District and the work that you have done here. Your certificate, as well as your pen for 25 years, wear it with pride.
Thank you. Appreciate you. It's been a privilege to serve the Pentecostal Church of God in this church for 26 years, and then I've been a minister for over 30 years. And when I was first called to preach, I was about 17, 8 years old, and some of you's heard the stories, but I run from that call for a lot of years. And then when I finally did begin to submit, I knew I was called to preach, and I started telling my wife, and first words out of her mouth was, "You ain't no preacher." And then, what have I got myself into? The first time I ever preached was at church in town, and I don't know what I preached for sure, but my pastor, the guy I prayed back through under, was L.R. Hurst, and he went to my wife back in the foyer and said, "Sis," that's what he said, "you got a preacher on your hands." And from that point on, we've been doing our best to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And in 1990, right after Stephanie was born, I started feeling a real urge to start a church, to pioneer a work. And always thought, and I knew it'd be difficult if I had to do this, but I thought I'd need to leave the community. And we've lived in Tecumseh now for almost all of our married life, and I felt like I'd have to leave the community, you know, get out and go preach. And God began to deal with me about it. There's a church already, a building. That little building was sitting on this hill. It was closed. And for almost a year, God dealt with me. "That's where I want you." I thought, "God, that can't be you, because I got to go somewhere else to pastor." and finally just got the best of me, and I rented the building, and she didn't want nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. Said, you'll just do it by yourself. I said, that's what it takes. That's what I'll do. But I'd fasted and prayed. I'd spent nights in one of my kids' bedrooms with the stereo on, listening to Kenny Henson sing, and just praying and weeping, trying to find the mind of God for my life. And I think this is, I mean, this church is not as big as I'd like for it to be. You know, I'd like to see more people. And there's been a lot of people come and go through our congregation, but I feel like I've touched them all in some way, and for the most part, for the good. And I've loved people. I know I'm got a terrible bedside manner. I know that. But God made me the way He made me, and He knew that when He called me, and that's all I can. That's just the way He made me. But thank you for being faithful, and thank you, Brother Talley, for being here today, and God bless all of you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate it. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I know it's on your celebration day, and you probably came expecting to hear from your pastor, and or I don't know what your normal things are, but things aren't normal when I'm here. So, but I appreciate him, and I appreciate the opportunity. I know as a pastor for many years and over in Oklahoma City, we were there for almost 20 years, and Sunday morning's hard to give up your pulpit, but I appreciate the honor to be here today. Open your Bibles with me to the book of John chapter 18. And I want to take a few moments to share with you from the Word, and I believe that the Lord has got something to say to us today, and if we'll hear what He has to say, He'll speak to each and every of us, every one of us this morning. We find in the book of John 18, Judas has betrayed Jesus. And he's betrayed him with a kiss, and Peter has cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. Caiaphas is his name, and as he went to arrest Jesus. So we're looking at John chapter 18, the 10th verse. It says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Bow your heads with me if you would, and let us all pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word is the power. Your word is what changes. Your word is what encourages. Your word is what saves us. Your word is what lifts us up. And Father, I pray today that your word, Father, will speak to each and every one of our hearts. And Father, may we hear from you and hear from your throne. Because, Father, I know today that every one of us are going to hear a word, but, God, every one of us is going to receive it differently because we're all in different places of life. And so, Father, I pray that, God, whatever that word might be that you speak into our hearts, may it bring forth fruit, may it bring forth life, may it bring forth hope and peace in each and every life that we pray today in the wonderful name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. If you'll allow me this morning, I want to tell you a story, and we're going to use the scripture as much as possible. And you say, what do you mean by that? I'm going to add a little bit in there, not into scripture, but I want to kind of give you an idea of what's going on and what may, or my opinion, what happened. When we look into the scriptures today, we find that Malchus has been given orders by the high priest Caiaphas to go and to arrest Jesus. And when they get there, Jesus asked the question, who do you search for? Who are you asking for? And basically, we find that Jesus is arrested and all these things are done. But now when we come back, Jesus has been arrested. Malchus has returned to Caiaphas to give a report. Because how many of us have to give reports for different types of things? On your job. If you are working on a job, you go to your boss and he says, okay, I want you to do this, this, this. And you go back and he says, well, how'd it go? Did you get this done? Did you get this job completed? When my children were living at home, I would send my grandson out or my son out to mow the lawn. And he would come back in. I'd say, did you mow the lawn? Yes. Did you get the lawnmower put up? Yes. Did you clean up the grass? Yes. Did you do all that? Yes. Why did I ask him all those questions? Because he didn't do it every time. Just this weekend, my granddaughter came over and says, Papa, I need some money. Can I mow your lawn? I said, sure. She went out, she mowed the lawn. She couldn't get the weed, couldn't get the bag off. So I had to go out and help her get the bag off a few times. And the fact remains is when I pulled out of the driveway this morning, there's all kinds of grass on my lawn. There's all kinds of grass in my driveway. And she missed a big old section up on the driveway itself. Did I ask her all those questions? No, I didn't, because she's my granddaughter. But the fact remains, all of us give reports. Isn't that right? Sure we do. We give a report of some kind. So it's understandable this morning for us to understand that Caiaphas demanded a report from Malchus of what happened. And so therefore this morning I'm going to just simply say that I believe that Malchus, on his return to Caiaphas, Caiaphas probably began the conversation by saying, how did it go? Did everything go all right? Did you arrest Jesus? Do you have him? How did it all happen? What's going on? And what's that on your shirt? And we're going to talk about that in a moment. See, in this story and in this setting, it all starts. Malchus says to Caiaphas, listen, let me go all the way to the beginning. When we arrived at the garden, when we found Jesus, we get there and Judas kisses him on the cheek, so we knew we had the right man. But Jesus asked the question. He says to him, who are you seeking? And I want you to see the scriptures. According to the scriptures this morning, it simply says in John 18:6, Jesus responds to him. And he says to him, I am he. I am who you are looking for. I am Jesus of Nazareth. Look at that verse. He says, who are you looking for? What is the answer? Who do you seek? And Jesus answered them, I am he. And they went backward and fell to the ground. I am. I am the one you are searching. I am he. Now, I can't say it in the same authority that Jesus said. And I don't believe this morning that Jesus yelled, I am he. But he just simply said it as you and I would respond, I am. But there was so much power and force in the word that it threw them backward. Now I want you to see something with me this morning that's exciting about the word. We find that this I am that he spoke of, Jesus is saying to him, now notice with me this morning that he is the servant of the high priest. So he knows the teachings of the word. He knows that Moses spoke the words, I am, sent me. The I am sent me to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. He understands that. And when Jesus responds with that authority that throws them back, I want you to see that Jesus is saying to them, I am the same that was there with Moses some 1600 years ago. Let's look at that scripture in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. So what is Jesus saying? Or what's God saying to Moses in those scriptures? He said, I see their problems. I see what's going on. Can I tell you that Jesus is saying the same thing to Malchus? I see what's going on in the world. I see the pains that have gone on. My Father has sent me to come and to deliver and to come and to save and to come and change the way things are right now, because there is going to be no more sacrifice, because I'm going to be the ultimate sacrifice, a sacrifice for each and every one of you. That's what Jesus is saying. That 14th verse of Exodus 3 simply says, and God said unto Moses, he says, this is who you tell them. You tell them, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Can I tell you this morning, the same I am that he spoke of those 1600 years earlier, the same I am that Jesus spoke of in the Garden of Gethsemane is the same I am this morning that is here to touch and to minister and to deliver and to heal and to encourage and lift up each and every one of us that are here this morning. The same I am is still real and alive today. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. As God delivered the Israelites, God has come to deliver you and I. And he says, for whosoever believeth on me, he's come for each and every one of us today. The I am has come again. The power of the word that he spoke his identity, I am. I am. I am. The power of the word that forces and blows them backwards. Can I tell you today, the power of God is in his word. The power of God is in his word. When you begin to confess the word of God and you begin to speak the word of God, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit saith the word of the Lord this morning. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you today, if you've got a care or a worry in life, a sickness in your body, then begin to confess the word of God. Begin to speak the word of God. Devil, you're a liar. You're under my feet. That's the word of God. Put him there. You need to be revived and encouraged. Put the devil in his place, because the great I am is with you this morning. There is power in his word. There's power in that testimony. We are made overcomers by the word of our testimony. How would Jesus overcome the temptations of the devil? He did it with the word, because there's power in the word. Listen, I can stand here all day long and say, well, devil, you gotta go. Devil, you gotta go. But if I'm doing it in my name, he isn't gonna go nowhere. Isn't that right? Was it the seven sons of Sceva that began to confess, saying, casting out devils in the name of Jesus? And when the devil appeared, he says, listen, Paul I know, Peter I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? I don't know who you are. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you this morning, when you speak the word of God as a child of God, there is power in that word that causes the devil to flee. He can't be in the very place that God's people are beginning to confess the name of Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, when you begin to worship God and you begin to confess Christ, the devil runs from this place. He runs from your life. He runs from your home when you begin to pray and you begin to worship God in your home. You say, well, my home seems to be in turmoil. Then just turn things around and begin to worship God and begin to praise God in the sanctuary of your home and begin to give God glory and begin to confess his word and his promise and his peace, and God will change the chaos into peace. That's his word. When my children were small, one of them, I can't remember which one of them, might have been both of them, but they woke up in the middle of the night one night and they were just screaming in fear. And my wife told my pastor's wife at the time, and she said to her, she says, here's what you need to do, because my kids did the very same things. She said, turn the Bible scriptures on, or turn on some Christian music real low in their room, and they'll sleep through the night. So we did it. Guess what? They slept. Because there's power in the word. Because there's power in the word. All right. Praise the Lord. He's good, isn't he? So he's given his report. Jesus identifies himself of who he is. And he tells them this is what happens. But then he goes on to that next question. Do you have Jesus? Yes, we have Jesus. He goes, okay, now that you have Jesus, what's that on your shirt? Because we see in the story that the Bible says that Jesus, that Peter drew his sword and he cut off the right ear. Isn't that right? Now, I'm no doctor, but if you cut something off, it's going to bleed, correct? So Caiaphas' question to Malchus is simply this. There's blood on your shirt. Why? who got injured, who got hurt. Isn't that right? Wouldn't you? If I came in here and I had blood all over my shirt, you'd think either I cut myself shaven or I spilled hot sauce on my way. So, 'cause you'd be wondering what was on my shirt. Caiaphas wanted to know what was on his shirt. And so therefore he began to say, well, now listen, I'm not done with this story yet. He says, when Jesus identified himself and we went to arrest him, this one of his followers pulled his sword and cut my ear off. Now I want you to realize that Caiaphas is probably stopping and he's looking and he's pulling on that ear. Excuse me, brother, but I'm going to use you for a minute. He goes over here and he pulls on that ear. I see nothing wrong with that ear. So where's the blood? No, you don't understand, Caiaphas. He cut my ear off. There's no evidence, Caiaphas says, of your ear ever being gone. And he says, well, simply this. And scripture speaks to this, and I'll tell you it in a minute. I got it up there. But he simply says that he took and went down, picked Jesus, reached down, picked up that ear, wiped it off, and touched the place and put it back. I have to imagine that Caiaphas again, but I see no evidence. He says, all I can tell you, and I'm going to paraphrase from Malchus this morning. All I can tell you is when he drew that sword and cut my ear off, instant pain went through me and blood was on my hands and running down my cheek. I could feel the blood running and my ear was gone. But then this Jesus, the I Am, reached down and picked up my ear off that dirt and wiped it off and touched it, and immediately the pain was gone and my ear was working again. I could hear and there was no more pain. But we continued to arrest Jesus as we were ordered. I want you to think about something. The Holy Spirit's bringing me here. How many of us today are still walking around with evidence of past hurts that God has already healed, but we're still wearing the scars or the evidence of what used to be? Huh? God says, I've already healed you. I've already taken care of that. I've removed all that pain, but somewhere along the line, you're still wearing the bloody shirt. You're still wanting to carry all those hurts. You're still wanting to carry all those pains. And he says, listen, I healed that. Why are you still dwelling there? Why are you going back, as the dog, the Bible says, returns to its vomit? Why are you going back to that vomit again when I've already given you something better? Huh. Think about that. Caiaphas is standing there and he sees the blood in his shirt and he says, I see evidence of a bleed, but I see no evidence on you. Your spirit man has already been healed, but your physical man still wants to show the scar. Help us, Jesus. Now, where do you go when your spirit takes you another direction? Jesus had picked up that ear. Are you broken this morning? What do you need Jesus to pick up this morning in your life? What do you need him to pick up and put back together today? The old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty fell off a great wall and had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him back together again. But that day, Malchus just needed an ear, and God put it back together. You don't need king's horses. You don't need king's men. You don't need other physicians that are around the world today. What you need this morning is Jesus. And what your healing is in Jesus. And all your hope is in Jesus. And we need to turn to Jesus. Some of us have some scars that we're so proud of. We show each and every day because we want to show those scars and say, this is where I've been. No, use it as a testimony. See this scar. I once was there. I once had this. I once was there. This happened and once that happened. But yet God has come this morning and he has delivered me. He's put me back together again. And I'm not going to wear that bloody shirt anymore because I don't want anybody else to ever know that I was there. No, I'm going to use it as a testimony of what Jesus has done. See, you see, the Bible never speaks of Malchus again. It never speaks of him again. But every time he looked in that mirror, he saw his ear. I don't know about you, but when I went to shave this morning, I seen this face. And every time I look in this mirror, I wonder, who is that? He's old. More gray hair and all those wonderful things. But simple fact is, every time he looked in that mirror, Malchus was reminded of the ear. Can I tell you, every time he heard his children playing or his master call, he heard through an ear that was healed by the same Jesus he arrested. Some of you today are sitting here this morning and you've been healed, you've been saved, you've been delivered by Jesus. And maybe you, sometime in life, you've denied him or walked away or aren't doing like you should be. I want you to know this morning, the same Jesus is willing to heal you again. Every time he stood before Caiaphas, Caiaphas must have heard and must have recalled the report of Malchus and the healing of his ear. Because I'm sure Malchus never wore that blood-stained shirt again. But I want you to think about that. Here you are, the high priest that ordered the arrest of Jesus, and in walks your servant with an ear that you know has been cut off because you've seen the evidence of the blood. But he's standing there right in front of you, day in, day out, time in, and time again, he's standing there, and in his spirit has got to be tormented. I arrested the I Am. I had the I Am arrested. I had the I Am crucified. I had the I Am killed and put in a tomb. And I had the I Am done all these things. But now all of a sudden I have heard the great story. The I Am is risen. He is not dead. His tomb is empty. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But I was the one who arrested him. What am I going to do now? I have to believe this morning that some of us are in the very same shape. We may have committed a sin against God. We may have committed a failure against God. And we say, what am I going to do now? Can I tell you, the same God, the same I Am, is willing, because there is time yet. There's still breath in you. There is time today to accept Christ. There's time today to turn from that wicked way. There's time today to turn from that bad decision. Every time Malchus came in, Caiaphas seen. It was a daily reminder. Can I tell you this morning that the devil wants to remind you of your past? He wants to remind you of your failures too. But don't listen to him. Just take off that blood-stained shirt. Think about that for a moment. Take off those things that remind you of what you used to be. Get away from those things that remind you of what you used to do. Because you're not that no more. We're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Why? Because I'm new in Christ Jesus. My grandson and I used to play video games together when he was small, and he still plays them, but I don't anymore. But the point is simply this, that we were playing a game one time, and my character was going further than his, and his died, and all of a sudden he'd rush up and hit the reset button. And I said, what are you doing? He says, I died, and you ain't going no further without me. He pushed that reset button and gave me a new start, but I want you to think about something. Jesus died because he said, I don't want you to go no further without me. He don't want you living the rest of this day without him. Hallelujah. Never spoke of again. Malchus may have never accepted Jesus as his Savior, but he could never deny what he witnessed. Now, I don't know about you, but in my heart, I don't know how he couldn't have accepted Christ. After what he had witnessed and what he had been through, I want to close with this thought, you know. Every generation that came after Malchus, every son, every daughter, every time he taught, every time he did anything, you know he told that story. I went to arrest Jesus, and one of his followers cut my ear off, and Jesus put it back on. Everywhere he went, everybody he told. You know how I know that? There isn't a fisherman in this place that hasn't told the story of the one that got away. Or a hunter that doesn't tell the story of the one where the gun misfired and they missed the biggest buck they ever seen. Are you with me? Malchus told that story day in and day out. He had to know that he was in the presence of the I Am. Even if it took the resurrection of Christ for him to realize that he was in the presence of the I Am. I don't know if he ever got saved. But John 9:25, the blind man says, whether he be a sinner, no, I know not. But one thing I know, that where I was blind, I now see. Malchus said, I don't know who he might have been, but I know my ear was gone. But now my ear is restored. I was lost, but now I'm found. You can't deny what's happened. You can't deny the word this morning. Jesus, the great I Am, is here to speak to you. And I pray that he has spoke to your heart this morning. Bow your heads with me. Father, we love you. And we appreciate you. And we thank you, God, for salvation. For that is the greatest miracle that we could all experience. And Father, you know the hearts and lives of your people that are here this morning. You know the hurting, you know the discouraged, you know the down and out. Father, you know right where they are in their lives today. And I just ask you this morning. I ask you, Father, this morning to begin to reach out and touch these hearts today. And Father, let your word begin to speak to them today. May they be encouraged and strengthened. And Father, I pray that if there be any here today that need encouragement through prayer, or if there be any here today that's lost without you, or maybe have stumbled in their path, I pray, Father, that you will touch their hearts and help them to come to you this morning. Help them, Father, to come to you this morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, is there anyone in the house today that would say, I'm broken and I need to be put together again? Is there anyone in the house today that say, I stumbled on my path, I've stumbled along the way, and I just need to be redirected with Christ again? Is there anyone today that says, listen, I'm physically broken. I'm spiritually broken. Are you here today? If you are, come. Come. Just come. I want to pray with you. Your pastor wants to pray with you. The people in this church want to pray with you. Because we all experienced and understand and know who God is. Just come this morning. We know the great healer. We know the great physician. We know the Savior. We know Him. Yes. Our ear may have never been cut off, but there's parts of us that are broken today. Our hearts have been broken. Our lives have been broken. Our spirits have been broken, and we need them healed again. Just come. Come, will you? Find you a place to pray. Find you an altar this morning. This is between you and God. I can't save you. I can't deliver you, but He can. And He's here. The I Am is here this morning. The I Am is here this morning. He's here. I appreciate these that are in the altar, but the Holy Spirit keeps working on me this morning in this respect. There's someone here this morning that's struggling in their relationship with God. I don't know who you are. I don't pretend to know your lives. I don't pretend to know you. I just know that the Savior is calling you this morning. He's calling you. He's pulling at your heart. That's just not the hunger sounds of your stomach that's calling you. It's God speaking to you and saying, come, son. Come, daughter. Come. Just come to me. Come to me, and I'll heal you this morning. We ask you to come as the worship team sings. Pastor, I don't know what's customary here, but let's pray with the people this morning. If you see someone up here this morning and you're willing, I ask you to come and pray with them today. Come and encourage them in the word. Come and pray with these that are in the altars.